This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Jeez, I've been listening to a lot of stuff from all over the world, podcasts, and I'm just trying to get my head around like what people really want. And it's such a young business. I'm not going to bore you with the details. I mean, this is what I have to do in my spare time, but
not even your spare time.
My work time and yes. My spare time. That's how you know you're doing the right thing, because you actually want to do it in your spare time as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, if you only do it when you're paid, then you're doing the wrong thing.
I'm sure it says something along those lines on the back of a sugar packet.
Sure, yeah. That's where I got it. How did you know? Yeah. So
wise words.
So, you know, the world of podcasting is busy figuring itself out still. It's very young. Facebook turned 15 the other day. Twitter's much younger. Instagram's even younger than that. And Snapchat, I think, is 8 years old.
Incomparable, though.
Yeah, and then podcasting, which has been around a lot longer. I mean, podcasts have been around probably about 20 years, but they've only really taken off in the last 5. Honestly, in this country, for sure. But maybe let's be generous and say the last 8. And obviously there are good podcasts and there are bad ones, and I don't know where you'd rate us. I would hope we would be a good one, otherwise we wouldn't hold on to the audience that we have held on to. But anyone can start a podcast, so you have this situation where the market's flooded with crap, and it's really hard to separate the wheat from the chaff at this stage. And obviously it's going to take time, because this is what happened in radio. Once radio was discovered and there was a band and you could have a certain number of channels and stations on that band, and there were good ones and there were bad ones, the ones that were successful and the others that were not. And the same probably goes for blogs. You know, the good blogs have separated themselves out largely from the bad ones, but there's still a lot to take place. I listened to a show which has a couple of million listeners, certainly according to their own stats. And I listened to this thing and I was really unimpressed. And I'm very open-minded to podcasting because I want it to succeed. It's part of what we're doing. But I was so unimpressed. I thought, this is such crap and it can get a million listeners.
Hmm. Renegade Report?
No, this is one in America where they have a huge audience. I mean, you know, you've just got a massive market in America for this kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. You can become like so successful so quickly there.
Mm. And you can also be very niched and do well. So that's possibly one of the reasons why, you know, this particular podcast, I'm not going to naysay them because they're trying their best. And what business do I have ripping them down?
Hmm.
But they do interesting content, but it's so badly presented. And really, that's an area where we kind of have an advantage, because we've got this background in traditional media as well. So we know how to set things up and how to make them work and what to do and where to take an interview and that kind of thing. So I'm feeling like we're on a good track at the moment. I really am.
Yeah, the industry, I think, is at a changing point of note recently. I think it's the space that we're in over the past couple of months, because the New York Times company also just recently reported that last year alone, and you know, the New York Times, there was mm-hmm. all of the speculation like, well, printing is going down and where do they go from there?
Yeah.
Well, the New York Times actually had a very great year last year. They reported earnings of $709 million from their digital work alone.
Yeah, you see that.
So they're now finally getting into this evolution from this printing powerhouse to playing in the digital age.
That's very good
news.
Isn't
it interesting?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Good for them.
Right.
Because at a point, there was even a documentary that came out about how they're handling having to cut a bunch of staff. And
well, I know they've got a podcast, which is pretty good.
The Daily.
Yeah, The Daily. And I like it. But again, it's very, you know, the New York Times has become a shill for the Democratic Party. Not that I'm looking for a Republican Party shill either. But they used to be an objective news organization. And I've been reading quite a lot lately from people who are honest enough to admit that journalists, in inverted commas, aren't even putting up a pretense of being objective anymore. They just are subjective. They're just playing partisan.
Mm.
And in this country, you can see it too. I mean, we've got Iqbal Survey, this guy who ran the Independent Group, and I say ran very loosely because he injected himself into all the content. He made sure that everybody was of the same political bent as he was. And really, how that company is going to survive, I do not know.
But
the same is true for Prime Media. The same is true for the Avusa, which is now Tisa Black Star Group. I mean, they keep changing their name. And I went to that gym at Rosebank the other day where you overlook their old premises and it still looks crater in the ground. And I reckon that's really what they've got to look forward to, is that crater in the ground. There's not a lot more going on in their world. And they've got ideas, but I don't think any of their ideas are going to save them. And you've got other media businesses which are floundering. They really don't know what they're doing because they've become so partisan. And they don't even put up, you know, the fact is here, I've never involved myself in what the Renegades did, for example, or what Adrian Groenewald did, or when she was here, Tumi Murake did, or anyone else for that matter. You can have your own opinion, you can go with it, and if you argue with me, then I'm going to stand my ground, and if I argue with you, you better stand yours. But really, to imagine if I came in here and I said to everybody, well, this is the way we're going politically. I mean, that would be terrible. First of all, you'd be forcing everybody to conform to some ideology, which is a very bad idea. And second of all, we'd all be terrified. Well, I mean, anybody who didn't have the backbone and wasn't in a mood to lose their job, if I were that kind of guy, would be trying to conform the whole time. Then you end up with people telling on each other, and it becomes the spy versus spy situation. And it's just ugly. So I don't know how they manage. New York Times is kind of, it is that way.
Mm.
I mean, the New York Times hasn't printed a single thing that could be considered even objectively fair about Donald Trump. Because they just hate him. They hate him, and that's their superseding culture at the moment, is to hate Donald Trump. So if you write anything for them, and it's nice and critical of him, they'll publish it. If you write something for them and it isn't, and it's maybe even vaguely complimentary about him, forget it. It's never going to be printed. And that, to me, is just not objective. Because objectively, on the numbers, this presidency is really working. It's working very,
Gareth,
very well.
Say it's so controversial.
I know. But, I mean, people don't want to hear it, right? So where's Gord? Is he coming today?
According to the call I had with him earlier,
you spoke
yes,
to him?
He is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gord, you know, I mean, I'm going to give him a lecture when he gets in here.
Oh.
His problem is he's just totally undisciplined. He's undisciplined about waking up and getting things on time. He's undisciplined about food.
Yeah, tell him, Baba.
No, he is. He's undisciplined. He get his shit together. Seriously, Gordon. We'll talk to him.
Oh, you even went full name on him.
Yeah.
Calling him Gordon. No,
but young Gordon needs to be pulled into line here.
Yeah.
Oh, even Uncle Ben is out today.
He's always got a story.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Anyway.
But on that note, I don't know about you, but I found that nowadays I can't just read an article on the New York Times and take it as truth, or on News 24. I now have to read at least three of the same articles on similar points to find out, okay, maybe here's a middle ground of what the truth is, which is quite sad to say the least that we've now reached this point.
No, I think it's great.
Because
no,
everyone now
yeah,
is skewed
I
with their own opinion.
Because this is where you must be in life. If you have a group of friends and, I don't know, Nancy's like, oh, he wouldn't believe it, but Jeff's got the smallest penis in the whole world. And you're like, well, I actually like Jeff, you know, is this true, is it not? She could just be bad-mouthing Jeff.
Yeah, and you should go to Jeff and say, Jeff, how big is your penis?
But the thing is, like, we should always question things, not take everything for face value. I mean, I'm not going to be one of those guys who's like, hashtag question everything.
Mm.
But we have to be, like, a bit more savvy about these kind of things.
But I understand it totally in a Nancy-Jeff scenario. But in context where people and companies are meant to report on news, meant to tell it like it is, have to be factual.
But the thing is, like,
everything is now an opinion piece, basically.
Well, exactly, they are. Because opinion, especially now with journalism, and you look at budgets, basically. You get a lot of journalists who now are just writing opinion pieces because they don't have the resources to go somewhere and get an actual story.
Yeah, and clickbait.
Or they're just too shitty and lazy.
Just want clickbait.
So clickbait has now superseded investigative journalism and all those other things that actually gave us objective stories. So it's also the sign of the times and where we are.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who That's really knows what's going to happen?
Exciting times.
Well, I'll tell you what's also exciting. For the first time since 1909, an African black leopard has been photographed in the wild.
What's that?
An actual African black leopard, as in like a black panther.
Yeah. Oh, I saw this picture and I...
The first time since 1909, someone actually has a photograph of this amazing animal.
Were they sort of... Were they hunted to extinction?
Well, no one's really seen them. But this is one of the most majestic photos you'll ever see in your life. Go onto Instagram and it's Will, W-I-L-L-B-L. This guy's got photos of this animal.
That kind of gives me hope and also humbles me as a human.
I'm also going to cross-reference Will's other pictures to make sure he doesn't Photoshop stuff. So far, so good. He looks legit.
Make sure that doesn't happen. But it humbles me because sometimes I think we as humans think we know everything and we're too school for cool. And there's so much happening on Earth that we probably have no idea of.
Well, I think it's great that this animal survived. That means that there must have been a pair of them that have been breeding somewhere in some hidden location.
These photos are absolutely mesmerizing.
Because it's a fairly beautiful animal. It's not a jaguar. It's not the same as the black panther you get in South America.
It's actually got the leopard spots, but he's wearing all black, basically.
He's wearing?
He's like you.
He's like me.
Like the seer leopard.
Wakanda forever, black panther.
Yeah, we can rename it the seer leopard.
Because, you know, we don't get panthers, that term, the word panther, we don't get that in Africa. There's no such thing as a panther in
Africa. What is a panther by definition?
A panther is a black jaguar. It's a separate species entirely from the leopard that lives in South America. So they don't. This is incredible. It's quite a wild thing.
Wow!
It's obviously wild animal.
It was taken in Kenya.
See what you did there.
This picture was taken in Kenya, and prior to that, one of these was spotted in Ethiopia.
Isn't that exciting?
I think it's fascinating.
And humans being humans, I'll try to capture this, put it in a zoo, and have fat kids throw peanuts at it.
No, I'm sure they'll leave it in the wild. This is a rare thing.
They better.
Yeah, and they better make sure it's safe. See, it's so weird. Like, an animal like that would eat us a couple of thousand years ago. It would be eating us. We would be afraid of it. Now it's like, Jesus, these humans, we've got to hide away. Let's just hide over here and try to breed the next generation into life.
Because dead come out, then next thing and will be killed by a hiker who shoves his foot down its throat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but look, it was going to get, like, you know, going back to that hiker. Like
Ben told us about this hiker.
That's survival, though.
Fought off a mountain lion. Ben, there are a lot of wild, imagine. Big wild cats in your world at the moment.
Love them. Uh-huh. Amazing.
Yeah, and the polar bears in Russia who are going after people.
Really?
Yeah, we discussed it with Leanne last week.
You didn't hear this? There's a village in Russia that's been completely overwhelmed by polar bears.
Sounds amazing.
And they're actually eating people and like going into apartment buildings and like going down the passages of apartment buildings and just eating whoever's alive.
They're now being very active. You know, usually animals around humans, they want to retreat.
Isn't
they want to
great?
Stay away. These polar bears are like, ain't nobody got time for that. We deserve to be here too. We're hungry. We need space. So,
right.
So you could just walk into your house after work and you find
and
a polar
be a
bear.
Polar bear there eating your son.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
All these different animals, there's this guy called Mike Holston, also on Instagram, handles the real Tarzan, two N's.
Oh, no.
You can see this guy's profile as well. Like, he basically he lives with animals. I mean, the guy's taking, like, swims with tigers, and he's, like, he's friendly with snakes, and he knows how to, like, he's just one of those guys who, clearly, you know, like Steve Irwin, before he got zapped by that stingray.
Yeah, right.
He's just one of those guys. Like, his only way of living is with these huge animals. I mean, he also looks like a movie kind of character.
Ooh. Oh, Ben, you should have started with that.
Yes, he is in.
He does.
Okay.
What's his handle? I will.
The real Tarzan. Yes. Two N's.
Sia's just become interested.
This is the kind of guy that he lives in Wakanda, basically.
He looks as shredded as chicken pieces in a salad.
And he's just all about the real animal life.
I'm about the real him. Okay.
Look at you, getting all excited. See, has found a new boyfriend. All right, got an email here from somebody who I think we should get to, because even though it's a long email, it's very interesting. So Eddie says he's listened to us every morning from Thailand.
Oh, cool.
Where he lives. He's been here for a year. That's in Thailand. I've realized just how beautiful South Africa is. I've taken my country for granted. We do live in the most perfect country. That's South Africa. I miss the food, the weather, the beaches, the people, and the family. I've been teaching English here for a year. A lot of people are going over to the East and teaching English. Huh? You know a lot of these people, we tend to get a lot of emails from them.
Mm.
And the Thai education system is absolutely useless, he says. Kids simply don't rock up for class. They have no textbooks. They're always on their phones, to the point where I have to grab them from them. Like that other South African teacher, controversially. It's humid all the time. I've been to the islands. Yes, it's stunning. The novelty has worn off. We have so much diversity in South Africa. Thailand's government miraculously cancelled their elections this month for no good reason. I love Thai people dearly, especially their mischievous behavior, which is adorable. They're the cleanest and most hygienic nation I know. They don't spit. They're super sweet. They're well-mannered. They're neat. I love their skin. In Thailand, people simply have no concept of time, though. They live by the Mai Pen Rai philosophy, which means never mind. That's why you end up in trouble with things like your visa, because it never gets sorted out on time. It's always one frustration after the other.
So these people
are very relaxed. They seem to not be particularly bothered about doing things on time. Is that your experience, Ben? You've been to Thailand.
Yeah, but in the holiday sense, you also don't care about those things. But I can imagine when living there must be an absolute hell on earth.
So he says, you guys in South Africa think you've got it bad, but Thailand is on steroids when it comes to nepotism. However, here they don't steal. They're very helpful. It's a great country for holiday. But not to teach, you get really irritated. So obviously in his work, Eddie's getting annoyed. Organized chaos every single day and I'm sick of it. They ask me where I'm from, and when I reply, they look at me with a perplexed look and ask, why are you white?
Oh.
Their sense of geography is terrible. I don't want to sound like I'm roasting Thais, but I also don't want to make a generalization, but I get asked that question all the time. Immigration seem to dislike South Africans here. The odds are against us at the Cambodian border, the border with Malaysia, Vietnam, and the surrounding countries. And if you do have a visa run, they turn you back or refuse to give you entry back into Thailand. So apparently they don't have a lot of respect for South Africans in that part of the world. Don't tend to take us seriously.
Well, who they got to reference for the last 10 years? Oscar, Jacob Zuma?
Yeah, these are not good people.
Great
connotations. We're not sending our best people. I love listening to you guys. I started listening to you when you're on radio, and I dropped out of that when you left in 2014. Started listening to podcasts, blah, blah, blah. Take care. Keep up the good work. Eddie, that's from Eddie from Thailand. He's born in Patensi in the Eastern Cape. Well, we all have our problems.
How? It's
a great email, though, because we often do forget how great this place is.
Yeah.
And this is why we shouldn't let it go to shit.
And, you know, really, a lot of people complain. I was talking to I go to this woman every now and then for
a complaint.
No, like a face treatment thing.
For a complaint.
This doesn't just happen, all right? You know what I would look like if I didn't go to her? I look like I've been pushed through a wine press every second.
We all need to panel beat ourselves some way or the other.
No, she doesn't do any. It's not surgery or Botox or anything. She gives me a facial. So anyway, she says to me, because she spent a lot of time in Australia, she got her qualifications there and everything. She said that place is just, she said it's like everyone is the police.
Yeah.
They all rat on each other. There's a word for it.
Australian.
There's a word the Australians use for it, where like neighbors spy on neighbors and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, if you don't take your trash out or don't pull it in the right time, like you'll have neighborhood revolts.
And she said everything is a rule. And if you say as a South African, because we love breaking rules, we don't have any respect for rules in this country, which can be very annoying, but can also be kind of refreshing if you're in a world like Australia where everything is by the book.
Mm.
And when they hear you've broken a rule, they don't know how to deal with it. They fall apart. These Australians have no sense of humor about that stuff at all. So I think that's quite interesting. We'll take your calls. We've still got a couple of minutes before we get to the five things.
Just got a message from Gordon.
Oh, yes?
Stuck in the most satanic traffic.
Yeah, sure.
Almost the there.
Almost the there?
Yeah, that's what he wrote. All right, almost the there.
Well, let's see. I mean, I'm not going to – maybe I've changed my mind. I'm not going to lay into him this morning. We all end up late 1 or 2 days a year. It's allowed. That happens to the best and the worst of us, so let's just leave it alone. Nobile, who often gets hold of us, says, "Hey, Gareth, hope you're well. We'll be shameless here and say, would like you to view my latest video and advise your thoughts on it." What does that mean? Porn is bad for you. And then Nobile's attached this video that I think he's made. Do you want to hear it?
It's called Porn is Bad for You?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this bad porn we're about to watch?
I hope not. I don't really want to see Nobile's porn.
It's bad for you. You heard me.
Checking out some of that internet porn.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just gonna go and check my mail over there.
You been lifting weights?
No. No, I don't think. I'm sorry, Peter. I gotta get back.
This guy with the one big arm.
Let me explain. So I'm reading about variation between 70 to 79% of men basically watch porn.
This looks good.
And I've admitted to watching.
All right, it's long. And it's like 9 minutes, but you're off to a good start here. I like this. All right. Nobile has sent us his first video.
What's his YouTube channel?
His YouTube is... Let me just check. Hang on a second, Ben. Good question. Black Oxymoron.
Black Oxymoron.
So you can look up Black Oxymoron and go and give Nobile some feedback. He's looking for feedback.
Sounds like Gord's arriving.
Ha, Gordon.
How does it sound to
What's
you,
wrong
Ben?
With you? You can't get out of bed at the right time, huh?
Yeah, that little bit of that, and then the traffic amplification, what do you call it? Multiplier, exponential.
I saw you boxing the shit out of some trainer the other day. You're doing your boxing,
working,
huh? Man. How's it going? Are you feeling good?
Yeah, good. It was a weird one because I've been away for a little over a year, call it a year, from boxing.
Yeah.
I wasn't exactly in great shape the last time, but I was dedicated to it. And like, you expect to have... What are you looking at with such entertained grins here?
I'm actually thinking, I need to somehow record my conversations with you in the morning because I think everyone else needs to
what did he say hear to what I
every single week without fail. And as I do, I check up on Gord in the mornings, like, "Hey Gord, are you awake? See you in a bit." And this morning he goes, "Life is bad. Bad.
What's wrong with you? Like, are you in a depressed place?"
Hello, Gord, man. I'm being playful and thanking Sia for calling me. Right.
See, I should be asleep.
So
it's just almost dramatic with you, God.
I find what happens is
that says a lot coming from me.
So first off, boxing. You know, I expect it to be rusty. So you expect your cardio to be bad, and you expect your form to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was worse than I could ever have possibly imagined. Like, I was like, even for me, after a break, this is dreadful. I can hardly move. I can hardly breathe. But after a month, like, still nowhere near the best I've ever been or where I should be, but the improvement. So the place I started was way further back than I expected, but where I'm at now after a month of twice a week private lessons, I'm actually pretty impressed. It's like, it does come back and it comes back fast. And then as for mornings, it's just, I would love to see if there's some sort of formula that determines, like, let's say hypothetically your distance is an hour journey through Sandton.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you, for every 5 minutes you are later to leave than your normal time, how many minutes that then adds to the journey?
13.
Is that a real thing?
I'm going to guess 13.
But I mean, I would then argue that if you left 8 minutes later than your standard, it wouldn't be 13, it would be 25.
I thought about this the other day because I hate being stuck in traffic. It's my worst thing. And I've developed a better humor about the whole thing because now I listen to stuff and...
Yeah, and you have to. You know, take it personally, it'll kill you.
Of course. And I don't get road rage as much as I used to. I still get annoyed from time to time, but nowhere near how I used to be.
Same as me.
I was this out of control, real angry.
And everyone's doing it to you on purpose.
And you feel like you're safe in your little car, so you shout at everybody as if you're some kind of important person. And actually, those people could fuck you up.
Yeah, especially if you got pissed off with more than one group at once.
But I thought about this. I thought, you know, our grandparents probably had to go around. I don't know if they had cars when they were little. They might have had cars when they got older. But I reckon that they had to walk to most places they had to go, or bicycle, or go on horse, you know?
Mm. Like, yeah, my dad as a teen used to go on his horse places, like, not just around the farm.
Yeah.
Like, he'd horse to somewhere.
What? Yeah, this is what people did. So don't complain about the traffic. I thought we had a call there, but I pressed the wrong button, clearly.
Uh-huh. My thing is that, like, I more or less leave at the same time, and I more or less get here 5 minutes late, and I left 5 minutes later than that today, and it's like 25 minutes late. So sorry, everyone.
Just by the way, there are a lot of stories in the news that we've got to get to this morning. Let's get right into that. The five things you need to know today. All right, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, first thing you need to know. The JMPD, that is the Johannesburg Metropolitan Police Department, are monitoring protests in Lanesia. You might not even know about this, but there have been protests on Nirvana Drive in Lanesia, where residents of the informal settlement blocked roads with rocks and burning tires. Protests erupted after city power disconnected illegal power connections on Tuesday morning. So I'm sorry, protesters, but if you made illegal connections, why the hell should everyone else have to pay for you to get free power? If you don't want to pay for it, you shouldn't have power. Boom. I said it. It's going to make me hugely unpopular. People are going to complain. Oh, but that's so unfair. But you know what? We're living in a country where we can see the price of power. We've got an Eskom that's got $400 billion in debt because it's been managed into the ground by some really useless people. So protesting the Metro Police and making life difficult for people who want to drive into or out of your community is not going to help you. In fact, it's going to show that you are too dumb to get free stuff and that you don't deserve anything. That's what I'm seeing. JMPD and City Power did disconnect illegal electrical connections this morning, said Wayne Minar from the JMPD. There is now a protest on Nirvana Drive and motorists are warned to avoid it. So if you're going anywhere near there, stay away. Cancel those plans, do your business elsewhere, and do not go near Nirvana Drive in Lanesia. Friendly warning. Let that community do what they want to do. Mm. The IEC are hoping for an 80% turnout in the elections in May. Sai Mamabolo from the Independent Electoral Commission says he's hoping for an 80% turnout of voters. The IEC boss was speaking to the diplomatic corps in Pretoria on Tuesday at their quarterly meeting with their hosts in the Department of International Relations. More than 100 envoys were accredited to Pretoria were treated with a barrage of figures by Mamabolo. The 2.4 million registered voters, more than a quarter of whom will be casting their ballot for the first time, will have about 299 parties to choose from. Is that true? What? Only 2.4 million registered voters?
Oh, there's two numbers that are weird there. Firstly, yes, that.
And then the 299 parties.
2.4 million.
And a further 10 parties have applied for registration, so the total in the race could exceed 300. That's very odd. It can't just be 2.4 million registered voters, can it?
In how far wide?
The country.
The whole nation.
That can't be right.
No, it can't be right.
I mean, if it's 2.4 million people out of a population of 56 million people, that's incredible.
Yeah, maybe they mean 24.
Maybe they mean that they've got another 2.4 million registered this year. Otherwise, that would make no sense.
Well, either way, 300 parties? What the hell is that about?
Yeah, well, you're going to have your imagine how long the ballot paper is going to be. They have to fold it five times.
It wouldn't even be possible. I mean, a 300-person
Let's just
paper.
Check that. I wouldn't 300 mind.
Party ballot paper.
Yeah, I would love to know, but you won't get all 300 in every province. You see, there's some provinces like the Cape.
Oh, so it's only for regional.
Yeah, the Cape party is only registered in the Cape. They're going to be little parties in the Northwest, for example.
I'm guessing there's a Northwest party there that's probably also illegal.
You know what, Gord? You could be on for something.
Like the Mpumalanga magic.
Not contesting the Johannesburg election.
Not going to be part of the KZN. Yeah. Shake up.
I would like to. I'd like to check on that
Limpopo
number.
Limpopo legends aren't going to crack the Eastern Cape.
No, not likely. But what a coup if they did. Good for them.
See, let's try and get someone from the IEC to explain what the voting numbers are like. How many people are registered?
So like newly registered, because there was the last spate of registrations in Jan.
Yeah. There was a voter registration drive just recently.
So that would make sense.
South Africa faces an impending food security crisis if there isn't urgent action to correct unsustainable practices, says an environmental organization. That's the Worldwide Fund for Nature. The WWF, you know them.
They're the ones that changed the name of wrestling worldwide.
That's right. South Africa will have to produce.
They did. They used to be called that, and then they changed it to the WWE because of an ongoing court case with the panda guys.
But they should have, as a PR star, they should have had a panda wrestle like one of the WWE guys.
Pandas are so peaceful.
Pandas are so peaceful.
No, like you make it as a guy in a panda suit.
Oh. That Sorry, Ben, great. We took you literally.
You should have contacted Vince McMahon about that one.
But like a guy in a panda suit fights Vince McMahon, and that then would be funny. And that would have been the naming rights.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
The winner gets the name.
The panda pins Vince for three, and therefore it's the WWF.
The WWE.
I thought that the WWF stood for the World Wildlife Fund.
That's it.
Isn't that Worldwide Fund for Nature.
Well, that's just
maybe that's the WWFN who are their big competitors.
No, it's the WWF.
Conservation competitors. Yeah.
Anyway.
To you, WWF, right. We're the WWFBND.
But the point is that these guys say we'll have to produce 50% more food by 2050 to feed an estimated population of 73 million people.
Or can we have half the number of babies? I mean, life's about options.
Mm. Or feed the homeless to the hungry. Boom.
Oh. Very interesting. Oh. Lots of suggestions. Lots of solutions from Ben.
Think about it. Where are the homeless? Nowhere. They've been fed to the hungry. How are the hungry? Not hungry. They've been fed the homeless.
Like one hand washes the other. Yeah.
Or doesn't, as the case may be. What if you get a homeless person who's hungry? Goes to the top of the list.
I always give PE a hard time, right? And maybe they deserve it.
God gave PE a hard time. Gareth, can you leave them alone?
So... Ben was born there, you know that. God.
They say PE makes good people for export. You meet great people from PE all around the country, and you meet PE-nesses in PE.
Wow.
So Nelson Mandela Bay Metro Police Department got more than they bargained for on Monday. They pulled over a taxi on suspicion of overloading. And I think I've shown Ben this video.
Oh, yes, I watched this yesterday.
They pulled 48 people out of the taxi. It's a normal Quantum minibus. You know the Quantums. You see them on the road all the time. 48 passengers were headcounted, including the driver.
How crazy.
The driver was then escorted to Sidwell Traffic Department, where he was weighed for overload and the passengers were counted. And they said the vehicle in question had a valid operator card, but was only authorized to carry, guess how many?
12.
18.
16. So between the two of you. It's meant to carry 16. They squeezed 48, most of them school kids, into this taxi.
Yeah, look, I mean, kids makes it at least understandable how the physics of it works.
Yeah, but I mean, they were literally pulling them out. It's so hard to watch. It really is, because they just don't stop coming.
Takes forever. Yeah. And what's scary about this is that, of course, if you are in an accident with 48 kids squeezed into a minibus, that's not going to go well.
No.
It's going to be a complete disaster.
Yeah, any taxi like
48 kids and their bags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But just shows you what can be done.
I saw a video
not in a good way.
No, but it's possible.
Sure, I'm not disputing that.
They used to have
that,
competitions to see like how many people you could get in an Uno, and it was always like 10 or 11.
But they wouldn't drive the Uno.
No, and the people would be in seriously compromised positions.
Right.
But I watched a video that was bouncing around the internet recently where people from an African country that wasn't South Africa. But they had like managed to squeeze like 10 people into a sedan. But that was like trying to get people across a border. Not like this is just how we go to school. The wheels on the bus have got people in. Got people in. Got people
25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31.
I mean, they really...
32.
It's just unbelievable. This it's a normal Quantum.
35.
48. Just think about that.
37.
I don't think I've ever had 48 people in my house at one stage. I got more space in my house than a Quantum. If I did, I'd want to chase them out.
42.
Listen to this.
43. 44. 45. 46. 46. And with the front seat, yeah, passenger. 46, no? And this is 47 and 48 with the driver, no?
Sure. That's quite something. And then finally, while we're on the stories of the news, in Abuja in Nigeria, an attack by gunmen on villages in northwest Nigeria has claimed over 130 lives. That's more than double the toll initially reported. The last report we got, over 130 people were killed, not even the formerly reported 66, the governor of that province said. El Rufai, who was invited to speak at the briefing with President Muhammadu Buhari, was criticized for announcing the deaths last Friday on the eve of elections, which were subsequently delayed. The bodies were found in 8 villages in the Kajuru area of the state, which has long been a center of deadly unrest, fueled by ethnic and religious tensions. No one's calling it what it is. It's militant Islamism. Yeah. The same thing that ended up with those girls being abducted by Boko Haram.
Never coming back.
Yeah. And this is the problem in Nigeria at the moment, is you've got religious nutcases who are coming into villages where people are perfectly peaceful and happy and living their lives and saying to them, you must convert now or we'll kill you. And suddenly destabilizing that whole area. And they really are converting people at the point of a sword or at the point of a gun. And it's not going very well for the people in northern and northwest Nigeria. Most of the area to the north of Nigeria, in Niger and Chad and places like that, is already ungovernable as a result of Boko Haram. And remember, they're not just on the west of Africa, they're also on the east, in the case of Al-Shabaab. And nobody's talking about this. I brought it up endless times on the show with people like Simon Allison, who's an Africa expert, and he agrees. This is the single biggest existential threat to sovereignty in Africa. And it is because there are a bunch of fanatics who are going around. They don't want girls to learn. They don't want anyone to read anything but the Quran. They will convert you or you must be killed. I mean, this is like 400 AD.
Yeah, it's one of those things that amazes me that it's still in the world today. Mm. Not necessarily Islam, the religion, but like the idea of making someone follow your religion. After what happened with the Spanish in South America, I mean, it's just, you got to look back on it and say, it's as much of an atrocity as slavery, as, you know, like, sure. The persecution of homosexuals. It's like, you can't just go fucking kill people because they don't want to believe what you believe. Surely you get more God points when you die for having been really good at it yourself, as opposed to having made other people do it or cut their heads off.
Yeah,
do your own shit. You know, like, I don't kill people for supporting different football teams than me. I mean, I would if they was Liverpool fans, but I still think they don't deserve to die because they believe something stupid.
But it'd be nice if, like, God or, I don't know, spokesperson actually clarified the God points, because people are now interpreting it and it's leading to all kinds of shit.
Right.
Would someone up there, allegedly, just clarify this stuff so we can get on with it?
It's actually a very funny story. My former colleague and friend, Alan Adams, who's a funny comedian in South Africa, he came up with an idea that, and to the best of my knowledge, he hasn't done anything with it, so hopefully nobody steals it. Sorry if they do, Alan, but called Sky News, where God reckons, okay, like, I've got to intervene. These oaks are getting it wrong. They're not understanding. I made it very clear with my books, but now 2,000 years later, they've been written, rewritten, retranslated, cancelled, bits of them cut out. It's like not the same book anymore. In oral tradition made worse by writing it down. So he starts Sky News, where every like once a week he writes the message for what to do. Like, okay, oaks, stay away from this particular island, big earthquake coming, just tectonic maintenance, don't take it personally. Or another one that's like, hey, I see you guys are squabbling over whether to like eat with your left or right hand. It's totally up to you. Don't kill anyone. And, but people then get into interpreting Sky News and they start having fights and wars and squabbles and persecution. Oh. He means this by that. Like, very funny.
Hey, good morning. What's up?
Good morning.
Hey, what's happening?
I'm good. I just wanted to tell you something that happened this weekend.
All right.
Our president, this year, was here in Tando for the manifesto stuff.
Yeah?
Guess what happened?
What happened?
Load shedding.
During the manifesto being read out?
Yeah.
God, how embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when politicians can't even get the power to be on for the manifesto to be launched, that's a new low.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Hey, did you hear about how they've attached all Mazzotti, that illegal cigarette pirate? They've attached all his property. Yeah. So the Julius and the EFF Julius Santa is Claus blessed, is about to be put in jail.
How that's
new to me. Yeah. So you know how Anton Johann Rupert said a while ago, "I'm not your father, Christmas." Well, EFF are about to lose their father Christmas. All right, Bitcoin's trading at $3,919, Ethereum at $144. Over to Ben, what's in the sport?
Champions League week, Gareth, and the Proteas will play tomorrow, plus Mexico. They host the WGC tournament this week. Yes, thank you for the sound effects. A boring as all hell night last night in the Champions League. Liverpool versus Bayern Munich, 0-0.
Oh, well, Gord would have predicted that.
Olympic Lyon versus Barcelona, 0-0.
Gord thinks Liverpool's crap anyway.
I don't think they're crap, I think they're good. I just think they're a force of evil and that their supporters are soulless devils who should be quelled. Back to you, Ben.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, both games are pretty boring. Of course, Liverpool are now, I think, 19 games unbeaten in Europe, but you got to win your home games. This, of course, is the round of 16. And, obviously, Bayern Munich is a good team. They're always very competitive in this league. And then Lyon, they're pretty happy with holding Barcelona to 0-0 at home. I think Barcelona had something like 35 shots, could not get one of them past the goalkeeper. Yeah, pretty rough. Tonight, you'll get to see the might of Atletico Madrid take on the might of Juventus. It'll be at 10 o'clock.
That should be a pretty cracking game.
Yeah, exactly. Atletico aren't as good as they used to be, and Juventus, of course, are the best thing in Italy. So, yeah.
Your lady supports them, doesn't she?
Fearsomely. Fiery. Yeah, she's all over. Yeah, she's a massive Juventus supporter. It's odd. Well, it's odd because I don't see her derive any joy whatsoever out of it. It's like she supports them so she can be angry. But this is the thing about sport, each their own, you know? Maybe that's how you meant to do it, and I've got it wrong all these years.
Do you observe her?
She should support Liverpool. Their fans are thrilled for no good reason all the time. Moving along.
Yeah. And then Schalke 04, they'll be hosting Man City. Now, Man City, of course, is looking for this incredible season where they can win everything, but that seems to be impossible. All that really matters is Champions League. I mean, Pep Guardiola, for all his intensity and rugged good looks, it means nothing if he doesn't win the Champions League. So that'll be his big sight. So tonight, 10 o'clock South African time, you can get those two matches, which will hopefully be better than last night's two matches.
It'd be interesting if Schalke somehow won 4-0. It would be like Schalke 04, 4-0, Man City 4.
Or just lose 4-0, Gord.
Yeah.
Then there'll be 0-4.
I was thinking how you'd read it. It was a better joke in my head. It was visual. Visual joke.
It was worth it though, Gord.
It was
worth it.
Tried.
Right, so the Proteas will take on Sri Lanka tomorrow. They'll play the second test match, and that'll be in Port Elizabeth. How about that? What a weekend to be alive in PE. From the 21st to 25th.
No one's ever said that live.
Starting at 10 a.m, you'll get to see, no doubt, a resurgent Proteas team after they lost to Sri Lanka in Durban. And you'll hear a whole bunch of cliches about the fact that they're looking to resalvage some pride and get back to winning ways and blah, blah, blah. But what is Otis Gibson going to do with the team? Well, Werner Flander's out. He has an injury, upper ceiling, as they say in Afrikaans. So he won't be playing, and that's damn sure. Viad Mulder, though, he could come in. Now, he is a young, talented all-rounder who really should have had more of a go in the ODI series. Maybe he'll get it against Sri Lanka. I'm not sure.
Why is it so entertaining hearing you speak Afrikaans? We need to have an Afrikaans-only episode for Ben.
Well, then I would. That's the one word I'd probably get right. Yeah.
Basering.
Yeah. Basering for Falander. So he won't be playing. He'll be out for about 10 to 12 days. Hamstring injury. But I mean, this isn't really Vern's year because he's not being considered for the World Cup. So, yeah.
Oh, shame.
No biggie. But will Mulder be considered for the World Cup? Well, he'll get a chance by the looks of things in the test match here. But will they be able to just basically battle against Kusal Pereira?
Who?
Kusal Pereira. This is the guy who scored all those runs.
Up yours too, man.
This is the guy who scored all the runs in the Durban test match, including that really, really brave 150 not out where he was just hitting sixes and basically not giving a flying fuck about anything the Proteas had to give him. So that'll be from tomorrow. What else is happening in the news? Well, Sia, tomorrow also starts the WGC Mexico World
Championship. Thank you, Ben. I needed to know.
This event, it's so great because it's played at the Golf, Club de Golf Chapultepec.
Yes, that's
one
right.
One more time.
Club de Golf Chapultepec.
Thanks.
It's such an entertaining golf course because it's tree-lined, so it's old school. There's great undulations in the greens. There's exciting pin placements. So you see a lot of guys holing out from all over the place. And essentially the best 72 golfers in the world, except for Justin Rose, are going to be there. So all your favorites, except for Justin Rose. But he's no one's real favorite. I know he's the world number one. But he's boring as beans, this guy. He really is. I know he's doing a lot on his image and all that kind of stuff, but he's just not a big draw card in my mind. But you'll get to see the likes of Ricky Fowler. He'll be playing with John Rahm and Patrick Reed. Tiger Woods will be in the same group as Bryson DeChambeau and Abraham Ansa, who I think is Mexican, last time I checked.
Yeah. Abraham Ansa.
Yeah. Brooks Koepka will be playing with Bubba Watson and Rory McIlroy.
He's from a farm where shoes are not allowed.
Yep. Phil Mickelson, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, that'll be the pairing with him. And Henrik Stenson will be with Matt Kuchar and Tommy Fleetwood. Of course, Matt Kuchar in big trouble with Mexican people because he seemed to be a bad tipper. But then he's made it right, and he's now given this that guy who carried his bag when he won at Mayakoba. He gave him a whole stack of money and said apologies and all this kind of different stuff. So that'll be funny. There's a lot of different dynamics in the go here. Plus, for the first time on the USPGA Tour, of course, this is a global event, so it's co-sanctioned between European Tour and USPGA Tour, whatever. But they'll be able to wear the short pants in the practice rounds and the pro-am.
Is that important?
Well, it's a new story. Now, the European Tour, who are very progressive, I mean, these guys literally will set the hole on fire if it means more TV ratings. They've been playing in the short pants for the practice rounds for a while now. So Americans will get to do it. That means, for the first time in history, you get to see Phil Mickelson's calves, Gareth.
Which is
causing quite a stir. He has athletic muscular calves and no one saw it coming.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Sport just keeps delivering. Costa Semenya and her team obviously a bit
upset. Thrill a minute in the world
of really
golf.
It really is.
Next, what next? Multicolored hats.
Already been done.
Shoey.
Already been done.
Shorts, you say.
Stick with
God,
it.
God, how our grandparents would be shunning this. Next thing, they're going to let women drive the golf caddies.
Golf there.
Golf caddy jobs.
Yes. Okay, cool. Well, Costa,
the caddy gets driven by a woman so that he doesn't have to walk.
Oh
the
God.
IAAF are continuing being dicks. If in the Costa Semenya camp, they've released a press release basically saying there's a whole bunch of experts are now being rounded up and they're going to basically prove that Costa has to take these testosterone suppressing pills and that kind of stuff. Of course, to which Costa and her team are already pissed off about this. They're rounding up a team of experts of their own. So it's going to be a showdown. It really is. I don't see any winners in this because a lot of the time, no matter what happens, good, evil, guilty, innocent, all those kind of things, Costa's name has been dragged through the mud and no one has been just more exposed. I mean, they're just exposing this woman in every single way, shape, or form, and it just seems rather mean. So IAAF, well, they're so far down here. They're double, triple downing on everything.
Yeah, and by the way, the sports minister, who I suppose is trying to help Costa, is doing nothing to help the case because she's completely incapable of explaining her position. We discovered that yesterday. I played a clip of her, and she sounds like she's either been hit in the head really hard, or that she fell down once and bumped it severely, or that she's got nothing in it. Those are the only three options.
Well, after Fekila, they were just giving the sports minister job over to anybody, really.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunately... There you go.
Terrible.
There you go. There's not a lot much else sport, I've got to say. There really isn't.
That's enough. You know what? That's good.
Gareth, I know it doesn't perturb you, but we've got Super Rugby this weekend, of course. We'll get into that all on the Friday.
Yes.
And there's also Six Nations back all on the Friday. And, well, there will be other football too.
All right, Ben. Thank you very much.
But otherwise, get excited about the WGC in Mexico at Club de Golf Chapultepec. That's what I'm really focusing on.
This is the coolest weekend. Club de Golf Chapultepec.
Ah, it's the business
like
place,
you just, man. Every chance you get to say it. Must be a joy for you as a person who's professional at talking about sport to have something so awesome to say.
At the halfway house, you can order the Club de Golf Chapultepec Chipotle.
The Chipotle Club de Golf Chapultepec. That sounds delicious.
Cliffcentral.com. Wednesday morning. We're here. You can call us 0861-555-189.
We're not doing CS though.
We'll get to it.
This is CliffCentral.com.